Hello, Kept Faith listeners. 2021 is finally here. The most anticipated Padres season in over a decade is almost upon us, and we want to be there with you every step of the way. Go to patreon.com/thekeptfaith. That is patreon.com/thekeptfaith. And join us today. $1, $5, $10, or $50 million. Those are the only available options. Every little bit goes a long way. Join us today. Join our army, and we will take down all the other podcasts one at a time. Patreon.com/thekeptfaith. We would love to have you a part of our team. And who knows, you might get a free gift here and there or something else. Or I don't know, maybe you'll just get a high five next time we see you, but probably shouldn't touch each other right now, at least for another year. It's nothing personal. It's the pandemic.
Here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh, hello. Thank you, voice. It is another episode of the Padres canon. Welcome back. My name is Dallas McLaughlin. So happy to be here. You know what? I know you're thinking, wait a minute. It's Friday and we're already getting another episode of the canon. Ooh, that's right, boys and girls. Two for two this week because I missed last week and I felt guilty. For what reason? Why would I feel guilty for not... forget it. All right. Anyway, listen. Tough vote. Tough vote this week. Mr. Danny Ortiz from the 5.5 podcast brought us Mr. Mike Cameron. And it was close. Very, very close. But in the end, by just a little more than 10%, Mr. Mike Cameron made it into the Padres canon. So that means everybody get up. Stand up. Put your hand, the palm, the side of your hand, your forehead... Zip up your coats, because Mr. Mike Cameron, you are now a member of the unofficial, probably official, Padres canon. Thank you very much for joining us, Mike Cameron. Would like he was a guest. That'd be amazing if he was. You know, he probably could be a guest. What is he doing? He's not busy. He's retired. Well, another great episode this week. One of the nicest people that's ever existed in Padres Twitter history, and that is, I don't know why she even takes the time to do it, but Padres Geekster, one of my favorite people, writes for the Kept Faith with these fantastic stories about Padres fans. We talk about that a little bit, and we talk about the person, the being, the light source that she brought for inclusion into the Padres canon. Enjoy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And I realized throughout the process of recording these that I say, all right, ladies and gentlemen, quite a bit. But I don't care, okay? Get over it. Just get over it and leave me alone. The Padres canon is back, and we have a very exciting guest with us. Leading voices of positivity on Padres Twitter, which is a hard thing to do on Padres Twitter. It's just, oh my God. It makes us proud to have her a part of the Kept Faith. Please welcome to the program, Padres Geekster. Hello, Geekster. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you, Dallas. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm so happy to have you. And you have brought, wow, what a controversial choice you have brought to us today on the canon for inclusion. Controversial in the sense that I really wonder how it'll shake out. But I wonder, he should be there. We'll go through it. You brought to us today the oft misunderstood Khalil Greene. Khalil Greene was a shortstop for the San Diego Padres. Obviously, a lot of people know that. But he was drafted initially by the Chicago Cubs, and he chose not to sign with the Cubs. The very next year, he was drafted by the San Diego Padres in the first round, the 13th pick of the 2002 amateur draft, and he signed. And that was his career. He kind of zoomed, honestly, through the minors on up to the majors, probably because at the time we didn't really have a shortstop for the San Diego Padres. And he made his debut in 2003 with the San Diego Padres and was off to a pretty fast start from there. Now, Geekster, you have brought us Khalil Greene for inclusion into the Padres canon. Please tell us why.
Well, at that time, Dallas, especially his first full season of 2004, he just was so impressive to me, and I just loved his style of play. And I'm somebody who really likes defense, And to just watch him out there at shortstop, you know, his range and he seemed to have this kind of gentle way of playing defense where he had a soft touch and he would just like glide over towards those balls and like flip it to second. And I don't know, there was something kind of almost mesmerizing about the way he played defense. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to see him also have, you know, some pop in his bat, and he just grabbed my attention. And I've just always loved the way he played. And then, you know, of course, the enigma of Khalil Greene is, you know, who is this guy? You know, and that was a question for many years for us fans. And so that kind of intrigued me too. So, yeah, I think he's definitely deserving of being in our canon.
Yeah, he was, you know, that was probably the biggest thing that drew people to Khalil Greene, not only his look, because although he was born in Pennsylvania, he definitely looked like a Southern Californian. He had that nickname Spicoli for years and years in San Diego, kind of brought on by Mudcap, but he just seemed so effortless in everything that he did, probably because he was so stoic, but his defense was a huge thing. And I remember there being that story that came out that he would have in the halls of Petco and stuff, he would have a practice mat out. And he would practice diving onto the mat from different directions so he could make diving plays. I loved his defense, but you brought up I'll get into some specifics of his stats here in a minute, but I think you brought up one of the most interesting things about Khalil Greene, which is he was an enigma. I don't know about you, but it looked like he never enjoyed himself playing baseball. Did you get that feeling or did you not even concern yourself with that?
Oh, I did concern myself with that. And I think that first year was kind of deceiving because it did seem like he was enjoying himself. He had such a great year in 2004. Mm-hmm. Was like second in rookie of the year. So but he was very quiet and we were just kind of getting to know him. And then over the years it became very clear that he's not so happy playing baseball. Mm-hmm. And I think it took a little while for us all to like catch on to that, but certainly by the time that he left the Padres, it was very clear that he was having some issues. And then of course, you know, we know what happened. Well, maybe not everybody does. Maybe you can, you know, give a summary, but you know, in St. Louis and then in Texas, it became very clear that he was dealing with, you know, very serious social anxiety disorder to the point where, you know, he was seen self-abusing, you know, cutting himself and this sort of thing and had to seek treatment. And then he did have to just leave the game. And so, yeah, it's one of those really bittersweet, you know, Padres stories. And, you know, I did sort of look into, you know, where is he now? Because people ask me that sometimes and I the question, you know, out there. And there was a reporter from St. Louis who tried to track him down in 2014 in South Carolina. And he is like living quietly there with a wife and a couple of kids. And that's how he wants to. Yeah. To live his life now, just very quietly. He told Adam Rainwhite that, if I leave this game or when I leave this game, you probably won't ever hear from me again. And that's been pretty much the case.
Yeah, I remember seeing that article. That article like swept through Padres Twitter because it is strange how much people in San Diego, how much Khalil Greene is on San Diego Padres fans' minds.
Right.
It's so strange because he didn't play for us for that long, but he was kind of like the best player defensively and, I mean, not offensively. His offense, you know, suffered as the years went on, but right. But those first couple of years, it was this promise, you know, like, oh my God, we have an actual shortstop that might be good for once in, you know, a decade. So people think about him a lot and then people ask about him all the time. Like you said, you get asked about him. I play in a fantasy baseball league with the same group of guys now for over 20 years. And a lot of the guys live all over the country now. We get together and a lot of people will still ask like,
hey, what's up with Clint Green? Right. And you're like, what? Why are you, why do you care? It is such a sad story. And I remember it kind of coming out at the same time that Greinke was going through his mental issues in Milwaukee, and people didn't know what to do with them because they, a lot of people think, and I know we're derailing off stats, but I think this is just as important of a conversation. A lot of people think when you're playing baseball, well, why aren't you happy? You're making millions of dollars and you know, you get to play a game. But some people don't understand the harsh reality of mental illness.
Right, right. And you combine, you know, a condition like that, which, you know, he obviously had, with, you know, the pressure of the moment and, and the season. And I mean, I just can't imagine what that kind of, you know, pressure is like when you're in a slump and you are also dealing with, you know, a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys, no matter how much they make, they, you know, they're still human like you and I. And yeah. I mean, it really, it gives you an appreciation for, you know, for what players, you know, go through just on a, you know, regular basis if they don't have to deal with a mental health condition. But clearly Khalil did. And, you know, I think that's intriguing to fans because, you know, we all have our own issues. And but at the time, there was even like less awareness of what he and Greinke, you know, and Dontrell Willis, guys like that, were having to deal with. I'm hoping things are a little bit better now and that there's more resources for the players. But he went through a lot.
Yeah, I think there is a lot. I think that, you know, such high profile people like Greinke and Willis, like you mentioned, you know, being open and honest about those things, I think it's made a better environment for that kind of anxiety. What you like you just said, I hope that's a reality. It seems like it is. But you know, who knows? We don't know. Right. Going into his stats a little bit, like you mentioned, he came in second in Rookie of the Year in 2004, hit 15 home runs, batted .273, which was the highest average he had in his career. And he came in second to Jason Bay, which I think is ironic. Jason Bay beat him out for Rookie of the Year 2004. Most people forget, and maybe someday we'll do a Jason Bay episode of the Canon. But after that, you know, it was kind of a sharp decline. 2005, 250 with another 15 home runs. It just didn't seem, he seemed flashy, seemed good. But then every year was just a little tiny bit worse and weirder. And then in 2007, though, he kind of explodes in power. Gets 27 home runs in 2007 and bats .254. His strikeouts are creeping up each season. And going back to 2005, you know, that was our first NL West title in, and let me see, I had just had it up in front of me. It was our first NL West title, I think in 10 years. Since 1998. And that was, you know, for us, that was an incredible moment. But that team was such a weird team. They weren't really that good. And they got booted from the playoffs really quickly. And Green was kind of the poster child for like this mediocre Padres team. And that couldn't have helped him at all, especially with his what he was going through mentally. 2008 was a terrible year for him. And he was traded to St. Louis, and where he just bottomed out. That trade is only, I think, notable in the sense that in return, we got Mark Worrell, okay, I barely say that, and Luke Gregerson was the player to be named later, who became kind of an important person for the San Diego Padres moving forward. After the Cardinals debacle, he was granted free agency in 2009, then signed with the Rangers in 2010, and released a month later by the Texas Rangers in 2010, and that was it. And as you said, he moved to the backwoods, and that was kind of it for him. So kind of a tragic story for Khalil Greene, a lot of promise and then just bottomed out after a couple of years. And there was nothing, you know, like you said, just disappeared. But during that time, I mean, I don't know if you remember that 2005 to 2009 period where we just had these weird, mediocre teams. We were getting players like Maddox and Mike Piazza and David Wells for a minute. Like there was just all these people that seemed like throw in, like, hey, here's a person, here's a person. And it was just such a weird time to be a Padre fan. And I guess, you know, he became the poster child for that. Like the one, well, this is our one true Padre. The rest of these guys are just names that are being thrown into a hat.
Yeah, it was a very weird time. In the years that he kind of clicked, the Padres weren't, and vice versa. And so, yeah, it's very strange to think about those years and to try to get a handle on them. And all we had are these, like, you know, players here and there that were shining, but not all at the same time.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it was very strange, but. I know that for me, you know, just like watching those games, I always, you know, I'd always check, you know, see how he did and you know, watch the highlights, that sort of thing, because I kept hoping that, you know, that he was really gonna click for his whole career because he showed such promise.
Yeah, it seems like anytime you see highlights from that era, it's always Khalil Green diving this way and diving that way.
Right, right.
Yeah, Khalil. I mean, he was such a highlight, and people have such a warm spot in their heart for him. But I can also see people just on offensive merit alone wanting to not include him.
Right.
So yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Let me say this: did you ever own a Khalil Green jersey?
No, I'm not a jersey type of person, you know, to buy players' jerseys. So I
understandable.
Not.
I just, because when I go to you go to Petco, well, if we ever get to go to Petco again, I think I see more Khalil Green jerseys than anything else. So I hope he makes it into the canon. He's never going to hear this, and he's never going to matter to him either way.
Yeah, I mean, if there is any player out there who doesn't care, then you know,
not at all. I know he's probably making butter somewhere or something in the middle of a mountain. And if he is,
I do like to think that he's happy, and you know that report at least gave me hope. I mean, you know, he's married and has a couple of kids, so you know he's not like in a, you know, a hermit in a cabin somewhere.
Yeah, well, we don't know.
Well, true. But I think we should leave him alone, and you know,
yeah,
that's what he wants. You know?
I know he's kind of like the J.D. Salinger of Padres. Like,
there you go. I saw him.
I saw Khalil. I swear he was in Home Depot.
Right.
Yeah. Well, listen. Obviously, you've brought us this candidate, which means you're positive on him. You're high on him. We've given you. There really isn't. I mean, from all the players so far that we've talked about in the canon, this is the one that there's almost no information about before he played baseball, and there's zero information for after, except for his anxiety disorders. It's just kind of this snapshot of a career, and it was with the Padres. Bringing him to us, I can only imagine your vote for inclusion would be yes. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to say yes, too, because as somebody who had season tickets during this time, it was nice to know that the only person I wasn't forced to watch was, you know, Kerry Robinson in left field. So
right.
I appreciate Khalil Green. I appreciate what he meant to the team. And I'm voting yes. But now it's up to you, Padres Twitter. You are the final deciding factor. Go to the Kept Faith, at the Kept Faith on Twitter. It's in the pinned tweet. Does Khalil Green belong in the Padres canon? This should be a resounding yes, but I can only imagine one or two people out there who would say no and be real vocal about it. But I'm interested to see how it turns out. Thank you, Geekster, for joining us. Please follow her on Twitter, at Padres Geekster. And obviously, you do fantastic stuff for us on The Kept Faith. So go to thekeptfaith.com and check out all of Geekster's work. Is there anything else you want to promote while you're here?
Just, you know, I have an article out right now on Fernando Tatis and the extension and what it means for the fans. And you know, when we're talking about shortstops, and yeah, obviously, you know,
I know, isn't that weird? Like,
it's I mean, there's really kind of like no comparison between the two guys. Well, there are some comparisons, but
they both have long hair.
That's
about it.
Yeah, check out my article on Fernando, please.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for joining us. Go to the Kept Faith, at the Kept Faith on Twitter, and make your vote for Khalil Green, yes or no.